Good morning, everyone. We continue our reading in the Book of the Double Twilight, Canto 4, The Dream Twilight of the Earthly Real. And we are in the middle of Savitri's long reply to Death, who has been attempting to discourage her with all his doubts and darkness, challenging her dreams, her ideals, her vision of truth. And she is responding by giving him a view and giving us a view of the future steps to be taken in evolution. Last week we read about the higher steps beyond spiritualized mind, which is the highest level of consciousness that has so far been established on Earth by the Earth evolution. But Sri Aurobindo tells us that there are more levels beyond that. There is the higher mind. It's described here that there thought there has revelation, sun bright eyes. And there's a level of vision, truth vision, and the level of intuition. Well, it was all on page 660. And finally, he mentions on line 700, the overmind. And there is a line, Sri Aurobindo says, Savitri says, a line that parts and joins the hemispheres. The lower hemisphere of the manifestation and the higher hemisphere of the truth world. So we can start reading from line 716. Now she is going to describe the truth conscious world, the world of supermind. I think we'll go this way. Will you read? Fourth line. No, she doesn't have numbers. The fourth line from the top of the page.
In a glorious kingdom of eternal light, all ruler, ruled by none, the true supreme, omnipotent, omniscient, and alone. In a golden country keeps her measureless house. In its corridor she hears the threat that comes out of the unmanifest, never to return. Till the unknown is known and seen by men. Above, the stretch and blaze of cosmic sight. Above, the silence of the wordless thought. Formless creator of immortal forms, nameless, investitude with a name divine. Transcending time's hours, transcending timelessness. The mighty mother sits in lucid calm and holds the eternal child upon her knees, attending the day when he shall speak to faith.
Thank you. Anybody would like to ask anything about this passage?
It gives me the forms and everything out of them manifest, but if it is not seen, it is not recognized.
Doesn't go back in. Actually, this is the realm which in the Life Divine, Sri Aurobindo speaks of as the supermind, as creator. So the concepts, the creative ideas which are formed in the unmanifest, pass through this golden country and are given form.
Yeah, I see that word. I didn't read properly. Of course, the business of golden country. Anyway, never to return.
Yes. It will return when the unknown is known and seen by man. So the unmanifest is pouring its creative energy through this realm, and it will go on pouring and pouring and pouring until the total fulfillment and transformation of the entire manifestation. When the unknown is known and seen by men, then there will be a wonderful return of all these divine possibilities.
7:29. Eternal child is humanity.
The eternal child is that golden one who is dreaming all this into existence.
And talk to fate.
Yes, earlier in the poem we read that there's a date is fixed in the calendar of the unseen when there will be a communication between the world of fate, the world of determinisms, and this world of complete creative freedom. That will be the moment of union and fulfillment.
There is an image in the Catholic.
Yes, this is the mother, no?
Mother
and the child. The child blessing us all. Yes. So that's a wonderful intuitive image which has been adopted by the Catholic Church, yes.
This time hour and timelessness.
Yes. She is transcending both time with its succession of hours and moments, but she's also free from timelessness, from the state of no time. No. She's beyond this opposition between time and timelessness. There she sits in lucent calm with the eternal child upon her knees. Yes?
Well, I understand it right, then time plays no role anymore. That's more.
I think this is, actually we would have to go more into the nature of this realm. Perhaps I've mentioned it once before, and Sri Aurobindo says that what is very special about this realm of truth consciousness is that unlike us, who are only able to be in one state of consciousness at once, if we are in a particular state of consciousness and we move into another state of consciousness, we move out of that first state of consciousness that we were in. But he says that the superconscious, or the truth consciousness, is able to hold within itself three poises of consciousness at the same time. It is feels the identity of the one. It feels that state of the one in which he defines his infinite possibilities within himself. And at the same time, it can be in the state in which he projects those possibilities out of himself into time and space. So this is the creative role of this consciousness. So the mother unites, the mighty mother, the truth mother, the supreme divine truth, unites these three possibilities within herself. She transcends times, hours, but she's also beyond timelessness. She's master of timelessness. Is it okay?
The other thing is, I'm busy with the question, what is time, already for many, many years.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. So that's why, but I don't
so I think you would have to have a look. Sri Aurobindo does say what it is in the Life Divine. He speaks of time and space being the first objectification of the One. He says we can conceive of a state of Brahman where all his possibilities are concentrated within himself. And then the state where he starts to project them into time and spread them out in space and individualize them. That's the beginning of creation. So this is a golden country. Gold is the color of the supermind. You had something you wanted to ask, Anandi?
No, these two lines, no? When he speaks that out of them manifest never to return till their known is known and seen by men. There might be, Shalomindo said one time, I don't want to come back till everyone has seen that. And these two lines for me, sometimes they say, oh, for me, I don't want to come.
I think he has said that he would come back in the first truly supramentalized form. Yes.
What does the organization thoughts and aphorism about the divine? Divine is an eternal child playing an eternal eternal garden.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing it is saying?
Well, this idea of the Lord. The creation is a kind of play of his. No? But I remember Professor Aurobindo Basu once very, very poignantly saying that yes, we can think of all this as a lila, as a play, but in Sri Aurobindo's view, it is a play with a purpose. It has direction and intention. That is a bit different from the traditional view of the God as at play. But of course he does say that God and nature are like a boy and girl in love and at play. An eternal game of hide and seek. Shall we read on? Helmut?
There is the image of our future's hope. There is the sun for which all darkness wakes. There is the imperishable harmony. The world's contradictions climb to her and are one. There is the truth of which the world's truths are shreds. The light which the world's ignorance is the shade. The truth draws back the shade that it has cast. The love our hearts call down to be also. The bliss for which the world's derelict sorrows yearn. Thence comes the glory sometimes seen in God. The visit of Godhead to the human soul. The beauty and the dream on nature's face. There. The perfection born from eternity calls to it the perfection born in time. The truth of God surprising human life. The image of God overtaking finite shapes.
Thank you.
The truth of God, it means truth of infinity or the truth of God?
Yes. This whole passage actually is a description of the truth world, the truth, the supreme truth, which rules everything, really. No? But there in that golden house, he says, it's the image of our future's hope, everything that human beings hope for the future, is fulfilled there. It's fulfilled in an imperishable harmony. That is the outstanding characteristic for me of this supramental world, that all the contradictions are reconciled there. It's not that the one wipes out another. There is the sun, that glorious golden sun of consciousness, which all darkness is waiting for to be transformed into light. There is the imperishable harmony. All the world's contradictions climb up to that realm, and there they join as one. Because there is the truth of which our truths, the world's truths, are shreds. You know, if you put something through a shredder, you shred a carrot, you get lots of little bits of carrot. Well, they're all separated. There is the light. Our ignorance, he says, is a shade. That truth has cast, that supreme truth has actually created that shade. And it will withdraw it. And it will give us, there is the love our hearts are longing for, to heal all the strife and violence and hatred that's in the world, no? And the bliss, the supreme delight, which all the world's derelict sorrows are yearning for. Derelict means ruined, as if our lives, our hopes are all in ruins. We are all longing and yearning for that bliss, running after it wherever we think we see a little gleam of it. So it's from that world that if we get a glimpse of glory on earth, it's come from there. Those moments when we feel the touch of the divine on our souls, and the beauty and the dream on nature's face. I'm just looking out, you people can't see this wonderful view that I have. The beauty that nature produces whenever she can, wherever she can. The other day I was in such a busy street in Chennai, and there was one of those prosperity trees. You know, cannonball trees, they have the flowers sprout out of the trunk. It was in full bloom, pouring all that beauty onto the passers-by. It was so uplifting to see it, and it's got a wonderful perfume also. So if we give nature a chance, she expresses her dream of perfect beauty wherever she can in nature. Yes. And there, in that world, the perfection that's been born from eternity is calling to it all the different kinds of perfection that we attempt to give birth to here in time, which are often transient or imperfect perfections. But they are attempts, we are attracted to that highest perfection. So all that together is the truth of God, which comes to us now and again as a surprise. The image of God overtaking these finite shapes. It's all coming from there. That is the origin of the manifestation. In line 730, attending the day when he shall speak to fate. This is again one of Sri Aurobindo's usages of an English word in its French sense. Waiting for the day. You would read, Jocelyn? No.
Yes. won't work. Oh, very good.
Then your world of everlasting life is the realms of immortal supermind. Truth resides here, the head in the mystery, her riddle dimmed by reason impossible in the stark structure of material form, unanimate reason, unmasked. Her face, and there is nature and the common law of things. Then, in a body made of spirit stuff, the arc stone of ever living fire, action translates the movements of the soul, thought steps, infallible and absolute. And life is a continual worship rite, a sacrifice of rapture to the One. A cosmic vision, a spiritual sense, fills all the infinite lodged in finite form, and seen through a quivering ecstasy of life, discover the bright face of the Godness in the truth of the moment, in the moment soul can sit and unwind of eternity.
In that world of everlasting light, in the realms of the immortal supermind, truth lives unenigmat. Here she hides her head. We can't see truth. The supreme truth is a kind of mystery to us. We only see those shreds. Here she hides her head in mystery, as if she's putting a veil around herself. And so we think that it's impossible for truth to be manifested in this stark structure of material form, which is so resistant and limiting, no? So we think, here in our world, we think that reality and truth are two different things, no? There's the truth, and there are the facts, and they are not the same. No, you don't agree with me?
What really is.
Yeah.
So I don't see the difference.
Yeah.
There may be appearances which seem to be different.
Yes. But when we think about the manifestation of the truth, no, then we see this obstacle of this imperfect substance and these imperfect minds and imperfect life force. But there, all these things are perfect. The body there is made of spirit stuff. And he says that the body then is like an altar. It's the hearth stone where we put the sacrifice. A hearth stone. A hearth is the place in your house where you light a fire, but it's also in the Vedic religion. It was a hearth was built in which a fire was lit and fed as the symbol of our aspiration, our prayers. So the body itself is the altar for that ever-living fire, that Agni, the divine fire of aspiration and will enlivening form. So the action of that body is an exact translation of the movements of the soul. That happens to us only very rarely, that we feel, oh yes, that's exactly what I had to do. And thought, which is so problematical with us, there it moves forward, infallible and absolute, without doubt. And life is a continual worship's rite, a ritual of worship and adoration. Mother has spoken about this so beautifully that actually there is a perfect way of doing every little thing. And if we could always do the perfect thing, then our whole life would be this continual worship's rite. That's the image of our future's hope. A sacrifice of rapture to the One. And as we have bodies and thought and life, we also have senses. We have a power of vision. We have ways of perceiving the world around us. So there, in that realm, it's a universal vision, a spiritual sense, which feels all the infinite lodged in finite form, just as we all saw the divine in that beautiful butterfly a moment ago. To see everything like that all the time. And through the form, through that quivering ecstasy of life, discover the bright face of the bodiless, the One who is not limited by any body, but who expresses Himself to us sometimes in a face. That spiritual sense can, in the truth of a moment, in this moment's soul, can sip the honey wine of eternity. Feel that, get a little taste of that eternal bliss. Yeah, the one supreme. That's what he's going to speak about now, this one spirit. Mila, would you read? Oh, Audrey, sorry. Missed out Audrey, so sorry.
A spirit who is no one and innumerable. One mystic, infinite person of his world multiplies his myriad personality. On all his bodies seals his divinity stamp and sits in each immortal and unique. The immortal stands behind each daily act, a background of the movement and the scene, upholding creation on its might and calm and change on the immutable deathless poise. The timeless looks out from knowledge. The ineffable puts on a robe of speech where all its words are woven like magic threads, moving with beauty, inspiring with their being. And every thought takes up its destined place, recorded in the memory of the world.
Thank you. In his arguments to Savitri, death has been making distinctions and saying, how can the supreme truth dwell here in the material world? She's so vast and pure and glorious, and here there's nothing that can contain her or give her a body. And he's been saying that highest reality is immortal and ineffable, And here things are quite different. But what now Sri Aurobindo is showing us is that there's at least a realm where these things are not contradictions, no? Because inhabited by a spirit who is no one in particular, and yet, although he's one, he's innumerable. All these countless ones, he is the one mystic, infinite person of his world. Or person we can understand, Purusha, the inhabiting conscious being. He's inhabiting all that, and in that realm, it is where he multiplies his personality, his oneness, into multiple persons, with bodies. They're all his bodies. And on each of these bodies, he puts the mark, the trademark of his divinity, and sits in each of those forms and consciousnesses, immortal and unique. In our deepest and highest truth, he's sitting in each of us, immortal and unique. There, behind each and every day action, stands the immobile, the one who never moves, unmoving. He's supporting all these daily acts. He's the background of all the movement of the universe. No, there's this Sanskrit word for the universe, jagat. Jagat, it means everything that moves. So he is the immobile, is the background of that movement and of that scene. He's supporting this creation on his strength, his force, and his calm immobility. He's supporting all change on the unchangeables, deathless poise, equilibrium, this calm unchangeableness. The timeless looks out from the traveling hours. The hours go on moving forward, but within them all, there is the timeless looking out. And the ineffable, that truth which cannot be expressed in any way, puts on a robe of speech. It covers itself, gives itself a dress of expression, so that all its words are woven like magic threads. It's some wonderful fabric that is deeply moving in its beauty, inspiring with the gleam of those words. And every thought takes up its destined place, its perfect right place, recorded in the memory of the world. Yes.
An image recorded in the memory of myself recently I saw, because here it says that every act is supported by him. The memory is a very painful memory where I saw people were captivated and a young man were asked to shoot through the skull. That photograph was flashed on the internet recently. And how beautiful it can be, how we can say he supports that, and how I cannot see beauty in that.
So here we are talking about the world of supermind, in which the divine bliss is solving all those kind of strifes and misunderstandings and resentments and hatreds
that lead people to do this kind of thing. No?
He is supporting, he is responsible for this act also, isn't he?
Eventually, yes. And if we could see that he is there shooting and being shot, and what that means in the movement of time and evolution, and if we knew very well that each of us is immortal, then we might be able to see the meaning, the significance of even these most dreadful things. But at the moment, it's right that we see them as dreadful. We shouldn't be justifying themselves to us, to ourselves at all. They are dreadful. The Lord.
Superminds are basically different from us.
Yes, that's true. Mother said one can be in this state of seeing everything perfectly and still at the same time weep bitter tears with the will that all this must change now. That is why Sri Aurobindo gives us this affirmation and this hope that this is a passing phase in evolution and that the glorious destiny is in front of us and we're all going to participate in it and that we have the opportunity also to collaborate consciously in bringing about that diviner life on earth as they have devoted their lives to doing.
Without this, I don't know how we can go on.
How can we go on?
I mean, I say every day thanks for that. Mm. I wouldn't be here already. Mm.
Yes.
It's like because I know that it's something else and that part of the game. If not, I mean, I don't know, I wouldn't be here for a long time. Thanks to
Sri Aurobindo
every day for that.
Yes, yeah. Thanks to Sri Aurobindo. So now, Mila, it would be your turn. Yeah.
The Supreme, vast and impersonal, it's faultlessly the hour and circumstance. Its substance, a pure gold, ever the same, but shaped into vessels for the spirit's use. Its gold becomes the wine jar and vase. All there is a supreme epiphany. The all wonderful makes a marvel of each event. The all beautiful is a miracle in each cell. The all blissful smites with rapture the heart's cross. A pure celestial joy is the use of sense. Each being there is a member of the cell, a portion of the million thoughted. All, a claimant to the timeless unity, the many sweetness, the joy of difference, age with intimacy of the one.
Mm, thank you. So that supreme truth has a substance, its own special kind of substance, a pure gold that can never decay or change. But that substance gets shaped into different vessels which the one spirit can use. That pure gold becomes the wine jar that's holding the all delight, the wine of Ananda and the vase. I think here Sri Aurobindo is thinking of it could be a vase that holds a glorious flower, but a vase can also hold a perfume, a glorious fragrance that spreads, pervades everywhere. So that in that world, everything there is a supreme epiphany. Epiphany is an ancient Greek word that's similar in sense to the Sanskrit word darshan, a revelation of the divinity. everything there is revealing the divinity. And that spirit of the all wonderful makes every little event a marvel, something to marvel at and enjoy. The all beautiful is a miracle in each shape, and the all blissful, the one himself, is filling the heart with rapture, with every throb. And why do those bodies have senses? It's so that they can feel a pure celestial joy. Each being there is a member, a limb, a part of the one self, a portion of the million-thoughted all. That all has these million thoughts that are all part of it. Each being there is a claimant to the timeless oneness, has a right to that state. But at the same time, the many's sweetness, the sweetness of the different sweetnesses of all the different drops of honey, the joy of difference, but that joy of seeing something new and different and other is edged at the same time with the close intimacy of the one, the oneness. That is the goal. It's also in an aphorism. What shall be the end of it all? It's described like this. Something to share?
I saw this sentence, for that the all good stuff could touch the truth supreme, he would grow suddenly wise and seems to be such a beautiful sentence.
Yes.
And may I say?
Yes.
In the beginning I asked myself, so what are we actually reading? Is that the description of the transformation of the world? And I thought, no, the world won't be transformed. It's us as human beings.
The world will be transformed through us.
Yeah, right.
And but it's very interesting that Sri Aurobindo says in what we've been reading recently in The Life Divine that the supramental transformation of matter will be something different from what the supramental is on its own plane. It will be progressive, it will be in time, and it will be a transformation of this matter that we have. Everything will be turned into its own truth.
Let me share my last
thought.
Actually, what we are reading is how Sri Aurobindo sees the world.
Yeah. This is what how Sri Aurobindo experienced the supramental realm. I think he saw that somehow behind and supporting this world, but he was also very, very much aware of the world in which he had to fight the terrible evils and threat of Nazism and all the stupidity of the people in his ashram and so on and so forth. And he suffered. He's written about this in two places, about how I carry the sorrow of millions in my breast. In two poems, he's got the same line. So he was able to bear all that. He'd become so vast and so universal in his consciousness that he could describe all these different realms to us to help us get a glimpse of what is waiting for us in the realms which our animal evolution has not yet conquered. Okay?
And when Saravana time when Mother saw this picture, she said that she saw all this
the suffering
of the world in his face that he didn't see when he was with him every day.
Yes.
And you can see it's like he was doing a work, but he's not.
Yes.
Well, not easy, no?
Yes, sometimes I ask him,
left, no?
Why don't you smile?
Yeah.
But he's carrying all the sorrows of all the earth. Yeah.
I think he's
so, sometimes he does smile.
No,
yeah.
No, that's not too much.
Yeah.
It's so good. Too much.
He has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, that's another thing, yeah.
And he smiled.
No, but no smile. And no laugh, people say that. Compassion.
The evolution is from matter to life, to mind,
to spirit and higher level.
Is it culminating in the supermind?
Yes. Yes, that's what she's describing. That we started it last week, I think, no? Hmm? Or the week before.
In Agenda, Mother says that there are worlds beyond the supermind, and there's no end to it.
Yes.
The real culmination is when the divine love manifests.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a long way beyond supermind before the divine love manifests.
But I think here he seems to be saying that the divine love is there in supermind. But that's what they were working for. And Sri Aurobindo himself says that's the goal we have before us now. But who can say whether it's the end? Surely there must be an infinite progression.
Right.
Which is why I personally don't believe in the scientists' prognosis about the end of the universe. Because I think they don't have the data to tell. They've got the physical data, but there's a lot of other data there that they don't know about. But you are very right, that is exactly what Mother has described, Sri Aurobindo's work. And after his passing, she said that that's why I remain here, it's to do Sri Aurobindo's work, which is by serving the truth and enlightening mankind to hasten the rule of the Divine's love upon earth. And to Huta, she has said, truth has to prepare the way for the love to come.
Yeah.
That's why Auroville is supposed to be at the service of truth, to prepare the way for the rule of the Divine's love upon earth.
But one thought is coming to my mind. Like man has evolved from matter, matter to animal, animal to, and even if we go to higher states, there will be some people, human beings, there won't be like absence of this human beings, because everything has remained and some people have gone on the higher dimension.
Yes.
So this thing will continue to happen.
Yes.
There won't be like, there will be still human beings like us and others also.
Hopefully, Sri Aurobindo said it will be like that, that all the links in the chain will be still there. But he says, look at how each successive principle that manifests, how it modifies the ones that have already been evolved. This is very clear with life, how it has managed to change matter. And he says it can go on doing that, it can go on perfecting matter.
The base,
the matter itself
will remain. Like monkeys will remain, ape will go up, then humans will go up, but they are all there.
Yes,
but
all the links will be there, but there have been extinction, and all this is very nicely described in Sri Aurobindo's last set of essays, The Supramental Manifestation on Earth, and how necessary it will be for the chain to be, all the links to be kept. But as we go progressively higher, the transformative power becomes much more powerful. Much more powerful.
So there will be more people on more evolved stage compared to the lower stage.
Yes, and we will eventually read the prophecy of the Supreme at the end in Book 11, where, yes.
So,
into the truth of itself, yes. Yes, Prasad.
Talking about the truth preparing the manifestation of love, horrible being at the service of truth. And if I remember correctly, somewhere Mother called Matrimandir the zone of love. And for mysterious reason, she called after a zone of peace. And I don't know why she didn't want to call it zone of love.
Originally, she called it, I think, the pavilion of love, the Matrimandir.
Yeah.
But then, yes. She started to emphasize the truth. The truth prepares the way. And there are two wonderful paintings by Hutta, big ones, not small ones, like the Meditations on Savitri. One is the victory of the truth, and the other is truth and love, truth below and love behind.
Minor reason could be that at that time, 70s, 60s, there was a lot of hippism and that thing, so love would be misinterpreted.
Well, of course, she had to be careful what she said about this word. She's also spoken about this, yeah, that love out of this word, what men have made. But here in this book, Sri Aurobindo is showing us how divine love can be humanly expressed. No?
Very important and simple. When the kids ask the mother in the ashram school how we can help, because you talk of it, how we can child help, and she said, saying the truth, because we have to have the way clean for the supramental to come down. And I tell you frankly, if all of us really clean on that, the mother said, we'd be close, much closer. She insisted a lot on the truth. Love is coming after. But if we are not truth, and somehow we cheat ourselves, we're not, if we could really do that, it would be much closer.
So we can all take the resolution.
No, I'm talking about myself and like all of us.
What did you want to say? You wanted to ask something? Oh, sorry.
Why those words cling to truth are there on the
yes,
yeah,
as you go up.
Yeah, yeah. Notice that when they go up there.
There's a notice saying, do not lean on the wall. And then it says, cling to truth.
Well,
when you come out of the room, truth, and you come to the world, you should cling to that room. What is manifest in that room, when you come down, cling to the truth. Excellent place.
Are we going to read on a bit further? Should we let Savitri finish her speech? Prasad.
But who can show to thee truth's glorious face? Our human words can only shadow to thought. She is an unthinkable rapture of light. To speech, a marvel inexpressible. O death, if we could... O death, if thou couldst touch the truth supreme, thou wouldst grow suddenly wise and cease to be. If our souls could see and love and clasp God's truth, its infinite radiance would seize our hearts, our being in God's image be remade, and earthly life become the life divine.
Yes, thank you. We said earlier, we noticed that death is, to a great extent, expressing our own thoughts and beliefs. So that, I think, is why Sri Aurobindo tells us here, if our souls could see and love and clasp God's truth, its infinite radiance would seize our hearts, our being in God's image be remade, and earthly life become the life divine. And that is surely why he has given us this wonderful book, to help us, to help our souls to see and love and embrace God's truth, so that our whole being, our nature being, not only our souls, but our outer being also, can be remade truly into God's image, and that we can help this earthly life to become the life divine. The mother has characterized this poem as a mantra for the transformation of the world, and as the supreme revelation of Sri Aurobindo's vision. That's why we are reading it. That's why we are soaking ourselves in its atmosphere. I think I'd like to stop there for today. We can hear Mother reading maybe the last three passages. It's a new paragraph. It's a new
This stretches the boundless, finite, lost expanse, the cosmic empire of the overmind. Time's buffer state bordering eternity. Too vast for the experience of man's soul. All here gathers beneath one golden sky. There is the Godhead universal gate, and there the boundaries of immortal man. In her glorious kingdom of eternal light, all ruler, ruled by none, the truth supreme, omnipotent, omniscient and alone. In a golden country keeps her measureless house, transcending time's hours, transcending timelessness. The mighty mother sits in loosened God, and holds the eternal child upon her knees, attending the day when she shall speak to faith. There is a world of everlasting light in the wings of immortal supermind. Death, if thou couldst touch the truth supreme, thou wouldst grow suddenly wise and cease to be.
Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.